proceed or be quiet. Okay.
I am the teacher. We will now come to work.
We've had a request that I am going to honor to kind of move things around, and so we're going to change the order a bit. And our next item is going to be the last item on the. I think it's the last item on the agenda.
That's adjournment.
The item before that. The discussion of communication between commissioners and staff or employees of the agency.
There's no irregularity moving from into new business and then back?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's just a way to organize the agenda.
It's all based on what our chair would like to do. So
okay, good.
Honoring the request.
Okay.
Yes.
Just trying to make sure.
I think as long as we're all clear on what topic we're discussing,
okay.
We're fine.
Perfect.
Anyway, this topic came about because recently there was in between meeting communication by email from commissioners to staff with questions, comments about agency, what am I trying to say?
Policy
and what, how that policy was carried out. So, perhaps we should start by reviewing what the policy is about commissioners speaking to staff or employees or anyone, I guess, really. Pearl, do you want to talk about that?
On the website, there is a document that a board some years ago worked with, or worked through, came up with regarding the role of the commissioners. I don't have that in front of me here, and I certainly can't quote it, but you can all go to that. But I can speak to kind of the practice that I believe is best practice, and what I request of staff and really of commissioners. If you'd let me go that direction.
You sure can. I should say that, although I am completely forgetting what the name of that document is at the moment, I have read it, not recently, and reviewed it, and I think we all should have, because that was a part of the initial information, when you became a commissioner. So it was offered, and you should have that.
The actual link is board clarification, I think.
I can find it, but that might take a little while. So.
Right, but that's fine. If you would just speak about that, that would be great.
I think that when it comes to policy issues, it's very important that the board go to me and through me on issues. And likewise for staff, certainly if they have a concern or an issue, staff, just like the public, are welcome to go to the board with their own thing. But when it comes to really explaining and stating what agency policy is, that needs to be me communicating to the board. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. I guess that's the overriding idea about how I think it works best.
I mean, it's a simple, we state it as following a chain of command.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Thank you.
We flow down through Pearl to her and the directors and everything below, and it comes back up through Pearl to us, unless that process has been tried by an individual and has failed, and they feel that they need to go around to the next level above the one they just tried.
Yes, perfect.
Well stated.
It puts the individual staff member in an awkward position if a member of the board is asking a counselor or any of the staff, about policy or funding. I think in the past, our business office has directly provided information to the board which is, it's not that it's bad, it's just that then when I saw it, there were parts of the story that weren't in that. And so if it comes through me, not that I know everything all the time, but I've got, it's a better chance that I'm going to be able to provide you with the full picture of what the situation is.
Agreed.
All right. Well, and I think we put ourselves in a real dangerous position, because I know, like, if a school board member, for instance, came up to me and said, what do I think about so-and-so's teaching? I mean, or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's an extreme example. That didn't happen here. But, sure. You know, yeah, it would put us in a real, you know, yeah, it's just, that's, that. This is sound policy.
So I guess in a practical sense, how are we agreeing to implement that policy? Because I guess where I'm trying to differentiate things is I don't want to say that commissioners can never contact staff.
Right.
I don't think that's useful or appropriate.
I think the key word there is policy. Sometimes we have questions of staff that we know that staff person can answer this particular question directly, but when it comes to policy, we need to do the chain of command thing a little more, because PERL is directly our responsibility. Executive director is our responsibility, I should say.
If it is a question for a staff member, that would be the same as any other client or consumer asking that question. Nancy, maybe you have questions about your netbook.
Right.
I mean, you call the commission. You ask it just like anybody else.
Right.
It's when it's a question that is directly related to your position on the Board of Commissioners that.
Agreed.
That needs to be considered.
Okay. In what cases would a board member contact a staff member? That's, I'm having a hard time. You know, to me, if I'm going to ask about a staff member about something, I'll probably do it, you know, as a, you know, on a personal capacity, not, you know.
Maybe you had a question about the about Winterfest that's going on right now, and so next week you contact. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to guess, Bob Beaton, I was going to guess one of the other counselors that's probably out there this weekend with mm-hmm. them, and you contacted them directly.
Mm-hmm.
That question, I think from what we're saying, should have been directed down to PERL, and PERL would have asked the appropriate person to respond.
I totally agree with that. That's what I was getting at. So I'm thinking it would be rare for us to directly contact the staff about something is what I'm thinking.
I would say certainly not in your role as a commissioner, mm-hmm. then I think that it would make more sense to go through me.
But one example would be Nancy Oldman sent me an email saying I need a room reservation for the
logistics.
Simple like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
When we go through PERL.
Yeah, exactly. You know, PERL's one busy. Not that Kathy is, and I know she is too, but, you know, I know that Kathy is the person that directly does that mm-hmm. for the commissioners, and it makes sense just to go directly, but I have to agree, if it's one of our programs or something like that, then it needs to go. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing we need to keep in mind is, and I think pretty much we do this, but, you know, keeping everybody copied on things that we're asking PERL or things that we're asking each other, that it's not a private type thing. If it's something that's commission board related, it needs to go to all of the commissioners. I think pretty much we do that.
I haven't been very good about that lately.
I haven't either.
I've been asking questions directly.
I have the board job description, if you like. You want me to read that?
Is that? Sure.
Okay. Commissioners shall...
this is the one with like 20-some-odd points?
Yeah, I don't know how many.
Number one,
employ an executive director who is administrative officer of NCBBI. and who shall serve at the pleasure of the board. 2, annually evaluate the executive director using specified performance tool created by the board and approved by state personnel under the Department of Administrative Services. 3, require the executive director to submit his goals and objectives for NCBVI yearly.
Last time I thought we agreed that the goals were pretty
useless. We sure did.
We
didn't. So number 3 comes out.
It didn't occur to any of us to change that.
No.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
All right. We'll fix it.
5.
4.
Seek input from both consumers and staff through public meetings, correspondence, surveys, etc. 6. Perform relevant duties formerly assigned to the State Rehab Council. 7. Approve rules, regulations, and policies adopted and promulgated by NCBVI. 8. Have a working knowledge of the Rehab Act, rules and regulations, and other materials necessary for the operation of NCBVI. 9. Serve as a liaison between the public and NCBVI. 10. Annually elect a chairperson, vice chairperson, and an executive session secretary. 11. Attend and participate in NCBVI functions whenever possible, meeting with the entire staff as often as feasible. 12. Receive, read, and respond in a timely manner to materials from the executive director, NCBVI staff, consumers, and fellow commissioners asking for follow-up materials and or clarification as needed.
Could we pause there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes things, it doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes things do happen in between meetings, and I really would ask commissioners to check your email like every other day. I mean, that would be a minimum, just to keep on top of what's going on. We haven't had to vote on or, you know, make a decision outside of a meeting for something for a long time, but it does come up, and there's no way to know when that happens, and if people could check that email regularly, it would help keep things smoothly operating. And then I know that you know what's going on and that we're all having all the information. Because sometimes there are commissioners I don't hear from.
I don't.
Daryl.
We weren't trying to name you.
Do you need a reply, or does it show if we've read it or not?
No, I don't need a reply. But
I mean, do you know if we've read it or?
No, I don't have any idea.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to. Okay.
She's just asking a commitment from you to read.
Yeah, I can do that. I just
because I mean, like
I didn't know
other,
if we had to reply to everything. Like,
no,
thank
no,
you.
No.
Or
no, you don't need to do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like, it's quite frequent. Like other commissioners, there'll be like a follow up. There'll be questions and
exactly.
Stuff. So there's like interaction. I know that.
Yep.
They're participating in that, but you're tough to get a hold of.
You're right.
So yes, yep. I'm just okay. Asking. In my mind,
that's workable.
That's reasonable. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure where I.
13.
Maybe I can.
13. You were going to.
13. Receive both written, both written and in person. Focus reports from commission staff asking the follow-up materials and or clarification as needed. 14, receive commission budgetary info and monitor that process. Asking for follow-up, that phrase is a lot of stuff, reading that phrase. 15, answer questions from consumers, NCBVI employees, and the general public about NCBVI programs, processes, policies, and procedures, seeking input from appropriate staff in order to provide accurate and up-to-date information.
Can I stop you right there for a second?
Yes.
Okay. I had asked that we expand this topic through email to include not only communication from the board to employees, but communication from the board to the public when they email the board. There was a an email that was sent out earlier a few months ago where a consumer emailed the board and one of the board members responded back directly to them. And I just wanted to have a clarification on any policies regarding that. Is there need to be a consensus on a response to that individual? Are we free to respond to them at will whenever we want? Should we just be, unless it is a comment a question that we have to address, should we, if it's not one that we have to address, should we just be forwarding them, referring them straight down to the commission?
Well, I can talk about how I handle those, and it seems like lately there have been more and more of those emails coming in from them. Usually, it seems like the majority of them are people seeking services.
Right.
And I forward those on to Pearl, who forwards them on to the supervisor so that the person can be contacted. And I'm trying to catch everybody in that, you know, when I forward it, to include all of you guys so that you know that's been mm-hmm. taken care of.
Right.
Although I'm guilty of not always remembering to do that. So you probably have no idea that I forwarded that on. If a person is, like we just had one recently to update contact information,
sure.
I did remember to get you guys all in that loop.
Yeah.
But that's something I can take care of. That doesn't really need anybody
sure.
else's. If it's a question about, a general question about agency policy, do we have program X, I would feel comfortable responding to that. But I think, as a board, we need to make a decision that we need to have a single spokesperson, because if that person emails the board and we're not keeping in contact with each other,
right.
and Nancy emails them back, yes, we do have that youth program, and I email them back, you know, with some maybe true information but slightly different, yes, we have that, we have a program that's, you know, this, it could cause confusion, it could create mm-hmm. problems. So I think we need
Absolutely.
To all agree to have a single person responsible for contacting the public if that's necessary.
And when we do make that response, we're responding back mm-hmm. as the board member,
mm-hmm.
not as some other role that we might also fill in life.
If it comes to the NCBVI group, our five email addresses, then I think when you respond to that, that's responding as a board. You're speaking
okay.
for the board.
Okay.
I think, as the chairperson, I think that needs to come through me.
I agree.
I do.
So I'm lost now. So if several years ago I got a complaint about something, but it's irrelevant, but I just replied to that person, you know, I don't have any jurisdiction in that area or whatever. But whenever it's a complaint like that, like about job placement or something, should that then just be forwarded to the entire board? Or they were complaining to me thinking that I could do something about something, but, you know, in
I think it needs to be a judgment call, but if they are asking you as a board member, you know, whether it's a judgment call or not, it probably should come through Julie because she is our chair, and the rest of us should be made aware of mm-hmm. what it is. And if it needs, you know, further needs clarification or mm-hmm. is something that Pearl should get involved in, obviously we mm-hmm. need to keep her in.
It would just be okay as a standard rule, maybe just forward that though to Julie or Julie.
Right, and then we can discuss it as
sure.
a board through
okay.
the emails if we want.
And, but I think it's also fine, you know, like what you said, I don't have any jurisdiction, because there's going to be some lag time between when you forward it to all
right.
of us and we mm-hmm. decide whatever. I think it's perfectly acceptable to email that person mm-hmm. back and say, I received your message and I've forwarded it to the appropriate people and you will hear from person, you know, whether it's Pearl or me or
right.
whatever.
Whatever,
you will hear
yep.
by this person in a few days. If you haven't, please mm-hmm. contact me.
Okay.
You know, I think that's perfectly
that'd
acceptable.
Be great.
Yeah. Reasonable, yeah.
Okay.
I think, for me, the bottom line is to keep everybody in the loop so that we're all communicating as a whole, and nobody's going off on their okay. own tangent. Mm-hmm. If we can always remember to reply to all, I will do my best.
Oh, yeah.
And be professional. Yeah. I think that's really the big thing, is to remember that chain of command and who's the appropriate person. And when in doubt, email the whole board.
Okay, we can do that.
Is that?
That makes sense.
Okay. Pearl, did you have additional?
Oh, I could read. Mike was right. It goes to 21 points. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have to.
Not all of it's really. I think we've gotten to the ones that are pertinent to this topic.
Okay. All right. Unanimous consent. The chair can speak, and that's the way it should be.
Are there any comments from any of the staff that's here? Do you think that what we've said has covered?
Fatosh Flo?
Yes, Fatosh.
I thought that he was nice to us because we are getting emails from Jim for people's anniversary. They are really nice emails. Thank you, Jim.
Yes.
But I was thinking it was from Jim. Is it from Jim or for the commission?
From the commission.
It's for the whole board. I asked Jim to do those.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
on
I
behalf
think
of the
if
board.
It can be clearer because the people who received it thinking that it is from Jim.
Oh,
no, what I start out with saying it's clear.
Yeah, but I mean, if it can be like, I don't know how to announce or whatever, if you can say, I'm presenting, maybe that will be enough, but a lot of people thought that Jim wrote,
I don't know how you can do that.
Yeah, because he always starts it with on behalf of the NCBVI Board of Commissioners.
And I'll pass the word too.
Yeah, so that'll be good.
Because I just learned that it is from the commission, not the...
I have what I don't remember, Jim, at the end of your emails...
I signed it, Jimmy Rock, NCBVI BOC, Board of Commissioners.
That's what I meant.
So it's clear.
Okay.
And I'm...
I think
they do really appreciate those. And for folks who don't know, I have a tradition of annually writing a happy anniversary letter to each staff person where I, give them some individual praise and acknowledgement that they really are appreciated by the agency. And so then the board has... Well, and I copy it, not to all staff, but I send that letter to the individual and their supervisor, and sometimes the next level supervisor, depends on what their position is, and the board, so that the board can hear the good work that everybody's doing every day. And so, pardon me, this past year, or I forget when, but anyway, Julie basically implemented a practice whereby Jim, the vice chair, follows up on my letter acknowledging the board appreciates that person too. So I think it is nice. And actually Jim makes it personal, which maybe does speak to his thought of, and his interaction with the individual, which I think is a good thing. It's very personalized, and people do appreciate it.
Yeah,
it
is.
Nice,
we thought the other parties were ignoring us.
Hey, and Fatosi probably were, because it's being changed now, so there you go.
It was never my intention, but
as
the chairperson, there's a lot of things to be done between the meetings.
Yeah.
And when I took the chairperson position, I was like, it's a team effort, mm-hmm. and I need you guys to pitch in, and that has been Jim volunteered to do that, and he's been really great.
He's done a very nice job. I always make it a point to read his follow-up because I mm-hmm. enjoy reading them too.
Yeah.
I really do.
And I think
much as Pearl's comments,
I think it is good to discuss this though, because if I said, if I took my position as a board member and just said, Fatosh, I think you're doing a very good job, and just cited Darawalla, probably would not, while I'm giving you a positive, that probably wouldn't be appropriate.
I think it's always good to praise people. I don't think you need to worry about that.
Okay.
But I think, you know, it's just when you're kind of putting a staff member on the spot about policy or practice. Or
okay.
Now, right. If you think we're off doing something wrong, you know,
go to you,
then yeah. Come to me, you know,
right,
and then... And a lot of times we have the staff suggestion box that mm-hmm. isn't used a lot. It's electronic. It's anonymous. The person can sign it if they want. But those go to the board, not to me. And mm-hmm. then you all bring the topic to me and say, somebody thinks we have unfair practices with mm-hmm. promotions. Okay. The thing is, we hardly ever have promotions because people stay okay. here. Okay. But anyway, you know, any yeah. specific
okay,
thing. And then, yes, okay. I think through that's what we actually do. Mm-hmm. I go to the staff involved mm-hmm. and, you know, I investigate it and talk with the supervisor usually about the situation. And I'm don't necessarily report back. I do report back to the board, you know, what I have learned. And sometimes we change a practice or we revise how we do something a little bit. And sometimes we don't. We explain, here's why it is that way. So, you know, I think that that's the best way. And then if I fail in that at some point, you fire me and get somebody else.
I think we're clear. So let's.
Yeah. Well, one clarifying thing. Even though Pearl said that, you know, she doesn't feel that it's inappropriate to email the staff individually and praise them, that does have to come. It has been a board decision here before I came that has to be done by the whole board, as I was publicly admonished from doing.
I never intended to make that come across as publicly admonished, but it's been a struggle for us. And you were new, and I wanted to review that before there was something that came up problematic, and that is probably just me overreacting because you know there have never been issues with you being inappropriate. I don't worry about that. But it was sort of like me trying to preempt
a problem.
And I created one.
No, I don't think you created one. Uh-huh. Anyway, I think we're clear.
Okay, well anyway, so what was said there was that any emails going to the staff had to come from the board mm-hmm. as a whole. So
yeah.
Unless that policy is going to be changed, I mean, it's easy if it's just left that way.
You're right, Mike. The point's well taken. And maybe what I'm talking about is, if you personally, you're talking with somebody and want to give them an attaboy or an attagirl,
right.
then that's lovely.
Right.
But you're right. The written correspondence should be.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's kind of, that clarifies.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can live with that. We're good.
Okay. We'll move on to our next topic, which is back to our regular agenda items, is the update on the Business Enterprise Randolph Shepherd Vending Program. I don't know what to say about that.
My agenda... Oh, I see. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, after the CAP complaints and issues.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so I'll start this out and then I'll ask Carlos to speak to it a little bit. We have, and I forget how much I reported, you know, a quarter ago, but so the Business Enterprise Program, the vending program, is now under Carlos Servan's direction. Of course, he and I discuss a lot of details of it and consult and figure out where we're going with things. It's been a very busy year with Randolph Shepherd. We've had vending and cafeteria with the state buildings in Lincoln. We've gone through bidding process. We've been rejected with the bidding process for vending in Lincoln. That's a big change. Carlos is communicating a lot with the Purchasing Division of Administrative Services to get more of an understanding on where we stand with this. We also have recently submitted a proposal for running a lunchroom or a little cafeteria-type facility at the Nebraska Law Enforcement Training Center in Kearney, no, in Grand Island. Mm-hmm. We have vending on all the rest areas on the along the interstate. That's a challenge because by the contract that Department of Roads imposed on us, we have to have all or nothing. But they can close those rest areas whenever they want to for construction or whatever reasons. They haven't always communicated to us, much less the vendor. So Bill Brown and Carlos have been working on getting that, getting communication more effective there. And we do have the operation of a quite large facility of the dining facility at the Ashland Army Guard and another smaller one at Hastings National Guard. In a nutshell, that's kind of what it all is. Carlos, what would you like to add to update on that?
Well, you summarize everything. I guess if people have questions on any more details, I'll be glad to answer, but I think you covered it all, bro.
Thank you.
I was just going to make one comment, and that is that, we were talking before about making sure we reply to all and include the board. Pearl and I had been having a side conversation about this subject the last couple days, and it was just a question I had for her in regard to us losing our place in some of the state buildings because the letter that we had received, that the commission had received about mm-hmm. getting our equipment out of there
right.
said something about cancellation of our agreement, and I'd asked for her to re-clarify for me what the date terms were of our agreement, if it was being terminated early, or if we had been going to month to month at the time, and we had been going month to month. But if it had been otherwise, I was asking her what if there was any cancellation penalties for either side. And all that, it was a moot point because we were going month to month. But just so you guys know that that conversation had occurred between Pearl and I.
That's right. And, you know, but Mike's email was to the full board. It was to me, but to the full board. And it was last night about 10:40.
Oh, at the 11th.
I replied, and just to Mike, shame on me, but no, I replied to all. Hey.
I thought I'd send it just to you.
Hey, no.
I didn't remember,
because my reply was at 12:15 this morning, so I did reply to the full board.
Dedicated.
Wow, yes. Committed, or should be.
I think everybody in this room ought to be committed.
Yeah,
at some point
it's easy
or another,
to forget. You know, you're doing a quick thing. But
yep.
In that case, we both did the right thing.
All right.
Okay.
And
he didn't even know it. Actually, last night it wouldn't have been the wrong thing, but yeah. It is now. So
business enterprise, I just have to say, it's very complicated. It takes a lot of time. It provides jobs for blind individuals, and we have, I think, 19 or 20 blind vendors at the current time, and so it's a good program, but it is a challenging one, and Don Ward does a good job working directly with all the vendors. He fixes machines, but he also trains the vendors and tries to work out some of the issues, say, between the facility managers and the individual vendors. He's on the road a lot. Jan Stokerbrand is part-time, but she's basically the bookkeeper, but she does a lot of kind of juggling the reports as well as maybe problems that the vendors are having and in the process of reporting and their retirement and some of those kinds of things, trying to keep up files and such. Then Dave Robinson is working more on, looking at policy, looking at opportunities for bids, working with some of the vendors regarding payment of their obligations, Does that kind of summarize it, Carlos? Okay. And Bill Brown kind of gets involved with a variety of aspects, especially as they touch the business office. That's probably the easiest way to say his. So it was like the contract that we had to have recently submitted for Grand Island, which we don't know the results yet, but it'll be a really good opportunity if we get it. So the vendor had to come up with his proposal for a lot of the details. Bill and Carlos got the bid for contracts or the request for proposals from the state. Kathy went through to make sure, you know, to in any grant or proposal, they try to trick you, I think, on purpose sometimes with the where to send it and how many pages and what font and a lot of details. So Kathy went through that with a fine-tooth comb to make sure we didn't lose out just because of a technical error. I worked on the wording of the stuff, so it's really a team effort in putting these things together, and it's a heck of a lot of work.
Okay. I have a couple of items, Pearl, a little details in case you hear from other people. On trying to clarify the issue with the state office building and the snack machines, our proposal was rejected several months ago. That was RFP 3313. So let's call it 13, okay? And they didn't explain why it was rejected. They just say it's rejected. That's it. And we tried to get an idea why it was rejected, and they say, well, don't worry, we're going to open it again for bid. And that was it.
Let me interrupt there. At that point, it wasn't just our proposal. All the proposals were rejected. So they basically didn't grant the award at that point. Okay, so, go ahead.
That's the one with the vending machines in the state office building?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. State office building and state capital.
And so was the highest bid, Carlos?
I don't know that, though.
They were comparable.
Comparable. Okay.
Yeah.
And
so that was last summer.
And then several months after almost a year, RFP 3039, or just 39, it went out, we bid again, and it took a while, but then they decided they're going to give it to First Choice, which is a subsidiary of Pepsi. I started to ask more questions this week, and I asked them, well, why was that rejected? And the person wasn't nice to me. I guess she had too much work, or who knows, but she wouldn't give me an answer, and I tried to push it, and she wouldn't give me an answer, so I had to contact the supervisor, and the answer was, well, there were not enough competition.
There wasn't enough competition.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Were there more bids the second time than the first time?
Was my next question.
Why does there need to be competition?
I know that there were more bids, because I know that one company bid three times. But were there more companies bidding the second time than the first?
And I asked those questions. They haven't gotten back yet.
Okay. I believe not.
Okay. See, the questions I asked was, what is considered a competition?
Right.
Meaning how many had to apply? How many RFPs or how many proposals were before the RFPs went out last year and this year? How many they got last year and how many this year, and I haven't heard a reply. That's why I'm reporting to you, so you will be aware in case something comes up. I also know that the NFP passed a resolution and their members are working on contacting the governor's office, so you might be hearing more about this in the news or in the days coming around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's in regards to that. In regards to the one on Grand Island, we are not experts, the commission staff, on running cafeterias, especially large ones. If somebody wants to run a cafeteria, we want them to know how to do it, and they should be able to express it how they will do it. So what we decided to do is, if a vendor is interested in running a certain cafeteria, we will support them. But they also have to write something. They have to put in writing how they are going to do the business, meaning how many people they will employ, how much they will pay them, the type of food they will give, how much they will charge, the different menus. So we put that burden into the vendor themselves if they wanted to be one of the ones considered. And a couple of people, well, actually one wasn't very happy because we were asking that person to do it. So in case you hear complaints, I just also reported to you. I'm probably aware of all of those things.
No, I haven't heard anything.
No. Okay.
But when you do bid for a new site, there is a specific vendor in mind for that?
There has to be.
There has to be, okay. Mm. I was thinking so, but just because I've been to that Nebraska Law Enforcement Center, and it is in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Now, there's a whole process of how a vendor for a new facility is chosen. And there is a vendors committee made up of the blind. Actually, they're voted on by all the vendors. And then there's, five or six people on the vendors committee. The Randolph-Shepard law requires that the agency, which is us, the state licensing agency, work in partnership with the vendors committee so that it's not bureaucrats making all the decisions, but it's also not the blind vendors who maybe don't know the full budget implications or whatever making all the decisions. We have to work together. Mm-hmm. And so when there's a possible new vending site, sometimes the agency comes up with it by discussion with somebody or seeing that there's a bid available. Sometimes the vendor comes up with it. Like Lincoln Vendor recently moved to Fairbury, and he's been talking to the businesses in that town to see about having a Randolph Shepherd vending site there. So, you know, and then we all look at it together. So then when one is decided on, that yes, we'd like to bid on this property or this facility, then the word goes out to all the existing vendors, do you want this spot? Sometimes it's an increase in money for the income for the person, and so somebody will say, yes, I'd like that. Now, if it's just one, and then we all decide, we all being the vendors committee and pretty much me, the director of the agency, but of course working with the staff, decide, yes, okay, that person can do the job. If they can't, we, you know, discuss why we think that wouldn't work very well. Then if there are more than one person interested, that's when then it has to go through a process. There's interviews, there's, you know, but the interview is made up of the committee, and the committee actually comes up with a recommendation that goes to the director of the agency. And I can reject their recommendation, but I usually, you know, I would have to have pretty strong reasons to do so. I generally do agree with the way the vendors committee goes on that. So all of that stuff has to happen prior to actual bids, you know, being put in place. And so it can be kind of tricky. This one for Grand Island was, we didn't have very much notice. And so, you know, it can all happen quickly with communication and back and forth, but it is quite a quite an involved process.
Okay.
One more question, and maybe it's a big one, I don't know. What I'm hearing from Carlos and from you and the Dave and Bill and, you know, a whole lot of people are involved in it. It's a lot of work. Is it maybe a better idea to have a vending supervisor position again? Someone that could take on all of that?
Yeah. We used to have, until he retired in January, a person that was the supervisor of the Business Enterprise Program. Mm-hmm. It was not done as thoroughly as, I mean, the kind of work that the pieces that each of us are working on it is a much better approach, really, because we bring different things to it. And I think we'll really be able to access more opportunities than we could before. Also, I heard somebody say, yeah, they got five people doing what so-and-so used to do. Well, that's not exactly accurate. You know, like I said, the people on this team are doing pieces of the thing, but it's really working, I think, much better from the team approach. And we're able to save money by not hiring that person and have parts of it done by the rest of us.
Yeah, but then we're also adding on to job responsibilities. A lot of people, and none of the people, well, most all of the people that are on that team and are doing parts of it are salaried employees. And
they were reclassed.
Then, you know, can there are other job duties plus their new things be done in a typical work week, or are we asking people to work extra hours knowing that they're not hourly employees, so they're, you know, we're getting free labor?
Well,
I don't want to encourage
that. And I'll ask Carlos to speak from his perspective in a second, but I will say the hourly people, the ones who are eligible for overtime, which has to be requested, and we do it on a rare basis. For the most part, absolutely, they do, you know, they have their hours they can work in most cases it's 40. I think for Jan it's 30. I always forget what her exact number of hours are, but 30. For the most part, that does fit. Those of us who are not the, we're not eligible for overtime, which includes Carlos, Bill, and myself. That's just, I mean,
Dave too.
And Dave, thank you. Thank you. You know, we kind of, it's par for the course. That's my perspective. That, now I don't expect everybody to be answering emails at midnight, but, I think, I mean, I've worked pretty intensively with Carlos and Bob to make sure, because they serve as a team in supervising field services, and to make sure that this doesn't end up making field services suffer or other things suffer. So that's my perspective, that we've been aware of the danger there, and we really are working to try to keep things in a good balance. But maybe, Carlos, you want me to leave the room while you say.
No, actually, Bro, because in mind, I asked Bro, and I wanted to get involved on it too, because we saw a disconnect between the field services and the business enterprise program. As a deputy director of the field services, I didn't know much what was going on. Most counselors didn't know. And it was like a separate program. So this is an opportunity to make it a program in which the counselors are involved. So counselors, for instance, have to work on making sure that the clients are prepared before they come to the program. In the past, the program had to train this person. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's also something that we decided didn't make sense in the past, because when we want to place a client to a certain job, we the counselors and the field, even the center, are making sure that the client is ready with all the skills and all the attitude before we refer this person to that employer, correct? But we were not doing that with the business enterprise program. In fact, we were doing the opposite. So that's going to change. Now, it's taking extra time. I told Pearl that I'm not going to be doing like wages during the summer. We are hiring a part-time person to do that during the summer. I was doing that and working extra hours during the summer. It was a lot of work. But like Pearl said, we're expected to do those things when we have to. It saves money and help people to I guess, keep working. Now, what I also want to say is most of the operations are snack machines. We have one who retired a month ago, one person, so we are giving those snack machines to another a vendor to run those two together. So it's just one vendor. Unfortunately, we are losing two sites or facilities. Then the cafeteria at the state office building was something new that took a lot of time. But we only have, 19 vendors, and most of them are snack machines. It's more work, it's extra things here and there, but it's not going to be like that all the time. I think mainly right. It's a lot of dealing with personalities, people, things happening here, things happening there. And we are finding ways to also contract with folks. For instance, instead of having them drive all the way to SCAS Plus to fix a machine, we found somebody locally who can do that. Mm-hmm. And that's cheaper and more effective for everybody.
Definitely.
Okay, so we're trying. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be in the vending program forever. And maybe if it doesn't grow, and who knows. But the idea is that we can get more facilities. You know, and I urge you, if you have contacts at the university, Mike, if you know somebody, that maybe we can get a bit with the snack machines in the university. Why does Pepsi has to have it all? Okay. You, Julie, where you work in that building, maybe you can help us to get in contact with somebody there. And the same with you at the hotels. And but we need to work together.
Okay.
I'm asking the same thing to counselors and clients. It's not going to come right away tomorrow, but if something works, that would be great. Nancy Flero was able to go to the PayPal building last week, and she counted the floors and how many machines, and there are like 45 machines there. Yeah. So very easily for a blind vendor to run those two buildings. But now we have to get there. How are we going to get there is the question.
I guess my concern, I don't have a problem, with splitting up the vendor supervisor role and putting those, but then it seems like you're only one person and there's just a limited number of hours in the day. And if that means, if adding those job duties onto you means that something else isn't getting the attention that it needs, then we need to hire a person to take over. And you're saying like with wages, that's happening, at least to some degree.
Right.
But I really, really don't want to push people to, an 80-hour work week, and then 2 years from now, you're like, okay, that's it, I've had it. And because you're not going to be replaceable at that point. So, we need to...
I certainly agree with that. And we communicate pretty often, every day, to try to keep a balance. And Carlos and Bob, in supervising the field supervisors who are not, they could potentially work and have sometimes worked 80-hour weeks. We do address that and try to find ways to help each other to make it so that our folks don't get burnout. Right. So, we agree. It sounds like we don't pay attention to it, but I think we do.
No, I'm not saying that you don't pay attention to it. I'm just concerned because, with the recent changes with the North Platte District Office and the supervising there, and then the Business Enterprise Program,
right.
It's just like, I just am hesitant to ask people to do more than is humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, we ain't going to solve this
tonight.
Well, just
that is why, though, we are requesting... not reclassification, but in-grade adjustments to the salaries for Carlos, for Bob, for Dave. With in Don's case, we're actually looking at a reclassification because his job is much more of like the program specialist for technology. He really is a program specialist for business enterprise instead of his current classification as voc rehab counselor. So those are the changes we've proposed for the business enterprise staff.
And this kind of knocks off another agenda item, too.
There's one more piece that isn't related to business enterprise that is related to staff restructuring.
Well, yeah.
And Julie, I think I'm with you because that's what I also try to do with counselors. I want to make sure that they don't burn out. But I think I enjoy what I'm doing. And when you enjoy what you're doing, time flies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm glad to have the support of Pro because there are times in which I'm not necessarily tired, but if I have a question or something, I go to Pro right away and she supports. So that is reinvigorating when you have a director who supports you that way. Now, if she wouldn't support me, no way, I'm not going to be running. and that goes along with a lot of stuff. The folks with the vending program, Bill Brown, for instance, he's glad to work on weekends and evenings, and we don't do it all the time. It's when we need it to do
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
When we need to do it. Like this week, it was easy during the week. The previous week, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It just comes and goes that way, and sometimes you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. So that's...
Thank you. Appreciate that. Makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things about the commission that I have always admired, that no matter which of the counselors or supervisors or the executive director you go to, the enthusiasm for mm-hmm. blind people is always there. I mean, it's just always there. You just know we've got good people working for us. It's oh, yeah. very... It makes me enthusiastic because they're so enthusiastic.
Additional questions or comments about the Randolph Shepherd program or vending in general?
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait till public comment time so we can keep things on track. Okay, let's move on to our next topic, which is an update from Mike on the certificate for the service provider awards.
I can make this real quick.
Okay.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Because basically what I have here is the last meeting in August, you asked me to summarize everything we've come up with so far and write out basically what the certificate would say. And I've done all that. I did send it to everybody. I didn't really get any feedback from anybody. But
read it.
I read it. I don't remember getting it.
I don't really? Think I got it.
I don't know what
getting.
I did.
Yeah.
Unless you sent it since Tuesday. I haven't been online
No,
since
it's
then.
September 12th, 2010.
Oh, that.
Yeah. ncbvi.commission-board@neb.nebraska.gov. Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. I've forgotten
wrong
that I got it.
I must have said nothing wrong with it because I didn't respond.
Okay,
and
anyway,
usually
so,
I speak up.
Long story short, I have it here. This is what I'm going to read.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
what my thoughts was is basically not a whole lot more I can do until we're ready to award one of these, and then we'll actually do the deed.
Do the formatting. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
okay.
good.
Okay. So, I mean, we had agreed on two awards. The first one was, the first award would be a proclamation in the form of a certificate declaring the group or individual an ally in blindness independence. The criteria would be the performance of a service to the commission. It's very generic. We can make that up to our discretion. Suggested proclamation text was for exemplary service shown in support of the efforts of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired and blind Nebraskans everywhere, the Nebraska Commission for the Blind Board of Commissioners hereby proclaims, insert name, an ally in blindness independence.
Okay.
This would come in the form of, let's see here, layout. The certificate would have ally in blindness independence across the top, followed by the group or individual's name below and the date, then below that, the text of the proclamation and the signatures of all five commissioners. So that was the first one.
Done.
I thought that was good.
I approve.
Okay.
All right.
The second one. The second award would be in the form of a plaque and would be called the Commissioner's Advocacy in Blindness Award. The criteria for this would be the performance of extraordinary service to the commission. So recommendation that this award should be held back. It should be coveted a bit more and only given out to those individuals, organizations who make major contributions, financial or otherwise, to the commission. So it could be in service, finance, whatever. We did. It's up to our discretion. We could use a plaque in the shape of Nebraska with the NCBVI logo in the panhandle. I've seen similar plaques presented elsewhere that look very nice. And we can go from there to put that together.
I like the idea of being in the shape of Nebraska.
Done. We approve it. There you go.
Oh, and I did have one question. I mean, we can approve it, that's fine, but this all started way back when, and I went to look for the email and I didn't find it, but I didn't dig very long either. This all started way back last February in Omaha, where we were asked to put this together because somebody in between the November and February meeting had one of the staff here at the commission had somebody that they wanted to present this to.
Right.
And I
know that, I don't know if I still have it, but I know who the organization is that they wanted to.
Okay, good. Because I didn't know if, I couldn't remember if it was actually ever stated in the email who the organization was. So I hadn't found that email yet, but I couldn't remember if it was actually even stated. And if we want to go back and retroactively do this, or if it, you know, it's you know, a little late for that now, or what have you.
I don't think we need to retroactively do. I mean, I think it's still the organization is still active and they're still an excellent resource, so I don't see any
reason
to do retroactively. Yes. I think that until we have an organization that we're nominating or going to present it to, that we really don't have anything else to do with it.
And that, I mean, the whole idea of this was originally was that, you know, we're definitely welcome submissions, I guess, from the commission staff, suggestions, if they have people or organizations that they would like to see, I mean, honored in this way. I mean, that was the whole point of coming up with this, I guess.
Right.
I suggest that Julie send out something on behalf of the board. Send it to me. I'll send it to all staff and telling them you've worked on this and encouraging them if they want to recommend anyone for that award.
Okay.
If they could please submit it along with an explanation as to why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, okay. We can do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, that was quick.
Thanks a lot.
Nice.
Okay. And I think that's something we probably need to do through email outside of so that it can be a surprise. Okay. We'll move on to, should we do public comment?
Sure.
Probably.
Lenny had a comment.
Okay, let's try to keep it like 5 to 10 minutes for public comment. Okay, go ahead.
I have a real quick question.
Sure.
For Pearl, on the Small Business Enterprise, have they ever passed the little Randolph Shepherd Act that they were working for the state?
I'll explain a little bit about what you're talking about and then I'll answer. Randolph Shepherd is the federal law that requires blind vendors to have priority in federal buildings or facilities or properties. So if we're at all interested, we have it. You know, if we show we can do the job and so forth. Then what they call little Randolph Shepherds is where the state is required to, it's a state law, and that in state facilities, blind vendors have priority. Some years ago, we did work to try to get that in place in Nebraska. It was not successful, but what they changed the law a little bit to say that the blind vendor would have preference if the bid was comparable, not priority. So it's definitely not as strong. It's not a little Randolph Shepherd.
Yeah.
And so actually that comparability is part of our difficulty with this state office issue right now.
Which that's why I was wondering mm-hmm. why you were having
yep.
problems with that.
That's why.
And
right.
And also I had another question. Has anybody, do you have any vendors in the Zerinsky Federal Building, the new building in Omaha?
I've forgotten. Carlos, I think so. I think so.
That's where Merlin was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What, did they put a cafeteria in there?
I can't
really. I don't, but I'm glad you mentioned it, so I can follow up.
But, well, that's where my husband used to be.
Right.
Okay.
Before, yeah. And they were, at that time, was remodeling the Zerinsky Federal Building, and they were supposed to be putting in a cafeteria. And I wondered if they ever gave it to a blind vendor.
I know that we do not have a cafeteria there. I remember the vaguely all that was going on with that, and what ended up happening there, I don't know for sure, but Carlos can follow up on that.
It was a good location.
Yes.
And,
we do definitely have a blind vendor at Zerinsky. I know we do. And I know we don't have a cafeteria. I don't know whether they actually have a cafeteria there, or I'm thinking maybe not. But
because I don't know either. I've never gone down to find out. But they, if they didn't have a cafeteria, they had to have a dry scan then. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they. We do have something.
Okay. That's all I wondered if that had ever passed. But I never did.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
Who is that?
Cheryl, okay.
Yes, go ahead.
What criteria will constitute the awards, and will it be on clients or will it be on organizations?
What criteria?
Yeah, what's the criteria?
That's up to the way it is written now. I'm sorry, Julie, you want me to respond?
I don't think I heard the whole question. Criteria for what?
The awards that we were talking about.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
The way it is right now is we've left it very open. It's up to the board's discretion. So the way it was written right now, we didn't want to tie our hands and have some criteria and then have somebody come forward and did something really great and then, oh, wait a minute, they didn't meet the criteria. So it is written kind of
vaguely,
purposely at this point.
The open. As
open,
opposed to vague.
Yeah. Open, thank you.
Yes, there you go.
Well, open, vague, same difference. Generic.
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions, comments from the public? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next topic, which is the budget update.
Oh, Lord.
And before I forget, I wanted to bring this up earlier in the executive director report, but I didn't. Recently, we had a request from the auditors about Pearl's time record or time off, and I'm drawing a blank on the particulars.
Right.
Of that.
I thought we could either talk about it in budget or staff restructuring, but let's talk about it right now.
Before I forget. Yes.
when we first became a commission, just to give a little background, every time I wanted to take an hour off, sick or vacation leave, I would send an email to the board and ask permission to have the time off. And I work plenty of hours. It's a juggling constant. But anyway, so at some point the board decided we don't need to mess with that. You're a CEO. We can just, we know you balance your time. And then each 2 weeks, because that's what the state pays, we all, including myself, do a timesheet where we have to say how many hours each day that we either worked or vacation time or sick, whatever. And so that I send to the board as a record of my time, but we weren't having the board approve it. And everybody else in the agency, like when Kathy and Carlos, who answer to me directly, they do their time. They send it to me. It's all electronic, so it's not paper. People don't have to read print. It's all accessible. So they send it to me. I review and approve or not. If it's wrong, I send it back and say, you got to fix something. If it's right, I send it to Kathy and Dave, who do the payroll stuff, and I say, this time sheet is approved for Servon or whoever. And so that serves to the auditor the paper trail, basically, that the right documentation was set and that the supervisor indeed does approve of that. And similar, all the other supervisors send the thing on with their approval. So anyway, when the auditor was reviewing some things, which they do randomly, off and on, they saw that there was no approval for my timesheets. So it had been an implicit approval because of that board decision years ago. But it meant more digging around to get the information for the auditor. And so I'm proposing that, well, the business office said we could either go to an approval process or annually have the board decide we didn't need to. That's one more thing to remember to put on the agenda. Mm-hmm. I think it would be very reasonable. I send an email to the board each 2 weeks, and if then the chair of the board or whoever you designate would be the one responsible to send the timesheet on to the payroll office saying, I approve this for Van Zandt. That seems to me a pretty easy thing. We would have the paper trail. There wouldn't be any, you know, I think would be cleaner. So,
all right. Let's do it.
I don't think it's something that really needs, you know, a motion or anything. It's just a procedural change. And if you all agree to that, then...
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. To say Pearl and everybody else to the auditing department, okay. Big headaches, I think we should do it.
That if you did it as if we did it as the annual thing, we just put it with her review process in May. Mm-hmm. Just make it part of the same deal.
Okay. So, what do you think?
I would really hate for me to be on vacation or my computer goes kaput, right, and Pearl's timesheet is sitting there and Pearl is not getting paid.
That would not be a bad thing.
You want me to do it?
Well, it's the same thing. If any single one of us does it, it's the same sort of
That's a good
thing.
Point.
I mean, vacations and sickness and computer problems are still going to come up. I kind of like... If the auditors don't have a particular preference either way, I kind of think doing it annually and putting it with the evaluation, that way I think we'll remember.
That's a good
makes
idea.
More okay. sense.
Mm-hmm.
To
all right.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. We'll do that.
Discussion, questions? Are we all good with...
I'm good with that, but I do have a question. Just for right now purposes... is the auditor wanting something to be handled yesterday, you know, that's going to really cause problems, or will it wait until we have your evaluation in May?
I guess if you're going to go that route, it would probably be well to have a motion today that says
that's what we're going to be doing
okay. it this way.
And, all right.
And that in the future it would be at the
once a year
meeting
in May.
Of the annual performance.
And okay. then if, you know, as we, the fact that just appears in the minutes then is enough, or is there somebody that Julie needs to send an email to?
No, that'll be enough.
Okay.
Well, I so move that we make a motion to add that to our list of evaluation of Pearl, that we will...
proof her time.
Proof her time annually at the performance evaluation.
Second.
Okay. I don't know if we need to do a roll call vote, but we will real quick. Mike?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
And I say yes, so we're good to go.
Thank you.
So then budget.
Budget, yes.
Of course, we're in between. We've submitted our budget request to...
I'm sorry. Do we need to... Since we're waiting, okay, we made the motion that that this is our procedure now. Do we need to approve your time now? Do we need to say, yes, we've approved Pearl's time because we didn't do it in May when we reviewed it?
I don't think so, because you were observing the practice from the past.
Okay.
It's just that it was so much long ago that it'd be better to annually.
Sure, okay. Okay.
We're good.
Okay.
Okay, so you know, we're managing fine in terms of our budget right now. All of the staff are doing a good job with being conscientious about expenses and not, you know, not going overboard with things, but yet providing the services and resources that clients need. And so we are functioning fine within our budget. The budget for the biennium is the big question. The next biennium, the next 2 years, starts July 1, 2011. Our proposal, as with all the agencies, will be decided on by the unicameral and the governor when the session starts after the first of the year. Is this a short or long session this year?
No.
Long session this year. So a lot of times we don't know for several months between, you know, when the session starts and till maybe May or something, of exactly what the budget will be. But we're hopeful. We put, you know, we didn't ask for more money. We understand the budget issues and we try to keep a level playing field. We just hope that we aren't cut, and so that'll be something we're communicating with the senators. But we really won't know anything new till later. With the staffing and the budget request does already compute in some staffing changes. We talked about the business enterprise supervisor left, a half-time voc rehab tech left, and we've shuffled her duties. It was in a small office, and so some of her duties are being handled by another rehab tech in another office. We do so much electronically that it works pretty well. And then, of course, last year we vacated the North Platte supervisor, and then we have the person retiring at the end of the year. And of course, when you've been with an agency for 37 years, your salary is higher than what your replacement will get. So all of those changes have meant we have quite a bit of savings, and we talked about some small increases for some of the staff, but then the big thing that we are proposing is to create a program manager for information technology. And we, if we get that position, we will still save $21,600 each year, you know. So even if we add that position, we'll still be saving $22,000. So, and we have met with the budget people. The money for this is already in our status quo proposal, but we have to, you know, get the approval from personnel and from budget, the governor's office. And so this relates to what the technology discussion was this morning, and what we hear in just about every public forum we go to is technology is a huge need. The clients need it, the agency needs it. We have a lot of staff that use the adaptive technology, and the technology people with the state don't necessarily know all that stuff. So there are a lot of reasons that it would be very good to have someone also that kind of is the supervisor for the technology program specialists. As it is now, each technology person is supervised by their local district supervisor. This would put someone really as in charge of that unit. So our technology staff, they work well as a team, but this might just help really enhance that effort. And so if we get the approval, then we'll be wrestling with things like how much of it will they be doing that is that tech support for staff that we've talked about, coordination of the whole thing, certainly working with businesses. There are a lot of different things. There's a lot of needs, and so exactly how we would define the position is yet to be determined, but that's in the works, or we hope. We've requested it. We'll we should know soon if it is going to
so
clear.
An actual job description isn't written.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, probably wouldn't take long to write one.
Where would this person work from?
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those many things that I've been pondering and how best to have the person. One could argue that it needs to be in Lincoln at the central office. You could equally argue that it needs to be in Omaha, where there are more businesses, there are more clients, and more big business or businesses that employ lots of people in Omaha. So I don't know yet. I could go both ways, but that would certainly be something we'd have to decide.
Were transportation costs figured into this? Like this person had to go drive 200 miles or?
Well,
same with any staff,
yeah, right? That's kind of the same with all of our staff. We're a big state and
right.
We got a lot of windshield time.
So what you're saying, we have three people now with technology, and that would make a fourth, right?
Right.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be a fourth program specialist in technology. The idea would be to have the program manager who would be mm-hmm. over the other three
IT support.
And would kind of
okay.
Coordinate the whole effort. We already have a technology team,
right.
By the way, the business enterprise is not the only thing we do
mm-hmm.
In a team way.
Right.
Carlos sits on that team, Bill Brown, I think he always attends as well, and the technology people. We have an employee placement committee, so we have other
right.
things that work like that.
This is the kind of thing that I think consumers have seemed to be wanting.
Absolutely. It's a real need. And so part of our thinking in not filling some of these recent positions or in the last couple of years, and actually we used to have two support staff in Omaha too, and we haven't filled the one for quite a while because Norfolk support staff does a lot for the Omaha office. It just really works fine. So we've tried to look long term and say, where is it we really need the staffing? So that's where it's pointing. So we're hoping to get approval for that.
All right, let's see what happens.
I think we just blended both of our topics. But
yes,
that's
fine. Well, they relate with budget and...
I like definitely. That. Kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, but other questions or comments from the board about budget or staff restructuring?
So any cuts in staff would only come if the budget were severely cut? Or were cut? I don't want to say severely at all.
That's right. I know that staff continue to be worried. You know, will there be layoffs? Will there be cuts? And we're just trying very hard to manage our budget in such a way that we would not need to lay off staff, that we can still provide the quality services to clients statewide. So we of course, you know, never say never. We can't right. promise we won't ever have to do
right.
that.
But, no, that's the intent.
Certainly we've, part of why we've held off from adding a staff person for technology for a few years was because of being very conservative in how we look forward, and we definitely don't want to put ourselves in a place of having to lay off every couple of years. Okay, you add staff, then you have to lay off staff. Okay, then, you know, we don't want to do that. That's very demoralizing to everybody, so...
Pearl, in fact, didn't as I recall, the furlough that unfortunately had to happen, that was not even necessary within NCBBI. It was just a mandate by the governor.
Right.
Financially, we did not need to. We weren't in a position where we needed to furlough people. It was just a requirement that we did.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Two agenda items and one stone. We should do that every time.
Other comments from the board? Anything else?
We continue to have creative thinkers.
Yeah, we sure try.
That's yep. great.
We got
thank
a good
you so
team.
Much.
Yeah, and if you don't know, make it up. So
it's good.
Okay, I think we'll do one last public comment session, and then we'll move on with our planning.
Howard Thompson?
Yes, Howard.
I have a question for Pearl Van Zandt, please.
Sure.
I would like to know what are the total number of employees there are with the commission, and what is the total number of blind employees with the commission?
Okay. I want to say 49 employees. Does that sound right?
That sounds, really close.
I thought it was 51.
It's very, it averages right around 50. 49,
right
I think, is where we're at right now. Do you know, Kathy?
Something like that. I think it's close to
and that's
49.
The total number?
Yes. That includes everybody.
Okay.
Okay. Then.
And some of those, at least two that I can think of, are part-time employees.
There are...
Well, they're still employees.
Are there right. three part-time? There's two part-time. Is there a third one I'm thinking of? I think it's two. Two. Okay. Two part-time.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes, in asking for, you didn't ask FTEs, so I counted warm bodies in when I say.
A body, hey, that's what we wanted. Yeah. Employee is a body.
Yeah, FTE, the two part times would add up to a little more than one, but you'd want a number of people, right?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
And I'd
then
like
I have to count, okay, so then.
I call it 17 blind.
17 blind people, thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And, of course, blind, visually impaired,
About 17, okay.
About 17 out of 49.
Oh, that's close enough. I forgot my word.
Mm-hmm.
One last question.
Sure.
Is that considered integrated?
Yeah, that's integrated.
Okay.
But let me make a comment, because if you're trying to relate this back to O&I, there's no, the commission has no obligation to have a certain number of blind employees. So that would be the difference.
Well, that
now, it's very beneficial that they do, and I am definitely a proponent to having knowledgeable people, and my belief is, and I don't want to say that somebody who's sighted can't have a good understanding of what a blind person goes through, but and what their needs are, but I think it's very advantageous for the commission to employ blind individuals as well.
Well, that just might, in reference to what you just said, that just goes back to what I always believe: government enacts laws, but they don't have to abide by them. That's okay.
Well, there are certain benefits that an organization like Outlook Nebraska, working under the rules that they do, where they're required to have that certain number of people, there's other benefits that they get because they because of, now I can't quote to you what they are.
But they get their government contracts to sell their products based on the number of blind and visually handicapped people.
I didn't bring up O&I, it might
be. I know, but
I just want to know what the balance was.
The difference is, though, you were asking if it's considered integrated. And the reason is that we don't have a requirement or a quota that even anybody would need to be blind.
Correct.
So that is the key point there.
I know you didn't bring it up. I just was trying to anticipate a question.
No, that wasn't coming.
That's fine.
I can assure you that wasn't coming.
I didn't think that anything that, like, any changes like that, like adding board members or changing anything like that, requiring certain staff to be blind or something, that would have to come through legislation, which, you know, we as commissioners have no...
Well, that is true. Daryl does bring up a good point. There is a requirement that
that's true.
Certain number of board members are blind.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
But anything else?
The majority.
Yes.
The majority. Yes. Yes. 3 out of 5.
And it has been always that there have been 5 blind people on the board so far.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is true. That is a requirement. But the staff, like the daily employees, everybody else, no. There's no... It's just the same legal requirement.
This is Carol Jablisco.
Yes.
Hold on, Carol. You need the mic.
I'd like to at least make a comment. I think it's good for any... other state services throughout the country to have a mixture of visually impaired or blind persons as well as sighted staff, because I think it's a good thing, and they can help each other in certain areas where they work with people who are losing their sight, especially. And I mean, they know what it is to be blind, and they can be that much helpful. I mean, understanding, more understanding. And it helps people who are sighted as well. I mean, you learn from each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
The values of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I just thought I'd get out.
Mark Bolger here.
Yes.
Just a couple things. First of all, thank you, Board, for your service. And we, as a consumer-driven agency, we need you and we value your time, so thank you for what you do. And then there was a comment about a lot of the MCBVI staff, people have a lot of windshield time and getting throughout the state. And given that there are, 17 blind employees that work for the state, how do those people travel about? Because here in Omaha and Lincoln and throughout the state, public transportation is terrible. And I'm just curious, how do you address that?
Sure. We contract with individuals to serve as drivers. And so the drivers provide that driving for blind staff.
Who pays for that cost?
It's part of our operations. The state budget does.
To answer your question, Mark, taxpayers do.
So would it be fair to say it costs more to hire a blind person and have a driver?
Well, not really, because for one thing, you have a requirement to, all employers have to provide reasonable accommodation for people with disabilities. And a driver is a reasonable accommodation. The other thing is that a blind staff member can be working on their reports and their notes while they're driving, which a sighted person can't. So you lose.
They should.
They have to go back. get a little bit of a balance on the thing. Now, Hubert Paulson is one of our contracted drivers, and he wanted to say something, I think.
I guess I'll just echo what Pearl just said, which is when I was driving for Bob Deaton when he was a counselor, he would be doing his notes after visiting a client while I was driving.
What was you doing while he was doing work?
Uh, I either deadheaded or if paperwork needed to be done, he would ask me to come in to help assist in filling out paperwork. Other times I would talk with somebody else here, maybe Nancy or somebody, see if something needed to be recorded or if there's some other material that needed to be worked on for somebody in the commission, I would try to work on that in the car. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I was off the clock.
Well, I guess I'm trying to understand. Reasonable accommodations, I always was under the understanding that that was a minimal initial investment type of thing to get that person into the job.
Not necessarily. No, it can be an ongoing obligation.
So if someone needs a job and getting them to that particular job is hinders them from having a job, then any employer should be required to get that person to where they need to be.
No, not getting to the job. Okay. Getting to the job, that's everybody's own.
Okay.
Thing. It's the work on the job. If part of what you do is go into the community to meet with a person in their home, that's the job. And so the sighted staff person gets in a car and drives there. The blind staff person gets in a car with the driver and drives there.
Doesn't it kind of balance out anyway?
Because
the sighted person get mileage?
No. Because some cases they do use their own cars and they can get mileage, yes.
Otherwise
but we do have state cars that are a part of our whole operations budget.
These people aren't getting rich. I mean, the state's not paying benefits, yeah. Things like that, because they're contracted.
There's another comment in the back. Oh, did you want, Julie,
Can I interject to Mark's?
Just one second. Were you done, Daryl?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not a horrible cost burden. I mean, it's not like, you know, this we're doing benefits and things like that. It's we're lucky to have people that are willing to do it.
It's a reasonable accommodation, like what you could request in any employment. I mean, I worked for my county government, and there's reasonable accommodations that I have asked for, and they were happy to provide so that I can continue to be employed there and be productive and do what I need to do.
Oh, yeah,
it's inconvenient, but it's reasonable.
Okay. Cheryl had something.
No.
Okay.
We're kind of clarifying something else.
Okay. I'm sorry. Someone in the back. Cheryl, I didn't catch your name.
Cheryl Rossi. I'm a client and also a volunteer at the office in Omaha, Nebraska. And I help out at the receptions desk. And to answer Mark's question, when a driver's downtime, they come back to the office, take care of their, you know, make sure that if it needs to be serviced or gas or clean it, you know, taking it to car wash, things like that. So it always looks presentable to the client and the staff and anybody who's out looking, you know, they'll see the state in a Nebraska car driving around town. Okay. So, I mean, you know, they're constantly busy. The drivers are constantly busy.
Carlos Silva.
Yes, Carlos.
When they are not busy, they don't get paid, number one. And out of the 17, only 8 work on the field constantly with cars.
Right.
Thank you.
So it's not all of them.
In Omaha, only has 3 drivers.
Right. And, you know, I think my opinion is the drivers, they go above and beyond. They really sacrifice a lot of their personal time, especially like overnight trips. I know as a board, when we've had drivers and we go a ways away, those drivers don't get paid when they're not doing anything. I mean, and their meals aren't paid. That's out of their pocket or the someone else's pocket. It's okay.
And then
dedication.
Yeah.
Another thing from the commission that the drivers are dedicated to.
Oh yeah.
It's really true. Enthusiasm for the cause.
They're under a lot of, you know, I can't, like, if I was working for the agency and I can't tell my driver, like, I could say, Jim, I need to pick up some apples on the way home or things like that. I mean, they're under very stringent guidelines.
That's
no booze in state cars, we know. It's very it's well controlled, I think.
Yeah. Well, can I ask them? Given that it's so productive, why don't we have drivers for everybody?
Because it's not a reasonable accommodation for a sighted person.
I just thought, I heard a lot of good reasons to say that they were more productive. You've got a guy making a lot less money, not valued as much. Why not have everybody have a driver so they can be working in their cars and, you know, we can save more money?
Oh.
try to handle the woman, he might go.
I understand that logic. He might go. Okay.
Right.
All
right. Other questions or comments from the public?
I guess I didn't get an answer. So it's a reasonable accommodation.
It's a reasonable accommodation due to a disability.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let me comment on that. It's that because that reasonable accommodation is needed, not because it's law, but because in order for us to have the valuable services of a blind staff member, Kathy, would you help Don maybe find a, or Hubert? Anyway, okay, so we do it because this is a valuable employee who has something to offer the clients. So we make it be a benefit. We make it, we make sure that we aren't wasting time. So we make it into these benefits, but that doesn't mean we should hire drivers for everybody. I don't know if I...
It makes sense to me, but I don't...
You know, it's like if you need to do a certain thing that maybe costs more, just if you look at bottom line, you find ways to make up for that drain on the resource. And that's what we've done.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to relate that back to Outlook Nebraska. There's a law that says you need to employ 75% percent of people.
No.
So you try to make the best of it with that, within those laws. And so, and I guess the comment with the current job economy the way it is, everybody's looking. There's more people looking for jobs than there are jobs available. So mm-hmm. I guess to reinforce that point. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. This is Hubert. A number of the drivers have reached retirement from their full-time jobs, and they're using this as fill-in money too, so that it is not a living for them.
Right. It's not a full-time job, and so it, the hours can be pretty flexible.
Right. Okay. Other questions or comments from the public? Okay. I'm going to close public comment time, and we'll move on to our final
setting the meeting
times and
focus topics
and all that goodness.
Can I suggest we meet the first Saturday in February, May, August, and November?
That would be February 5th.
I don't think that May time is going to work for me. Let me.
All right.
May 7th.
That's not going to work. That's your anniversary.
How about one at a time? February 5th. Does that work for everyone?
I believe so.
As long as you don't make it Sunday, yeah.
Yes.
Would you say May 5th?
February 5th is the first one.
What day is that on?
Saturday.
They're all
meetings are always Saturday.
Yeah. February is always
Saturday. We've got to let this has to be accessible for the commission board, not the public. We have to debate this among ourselves and then...
No, question was asked, is it on a Sunday?
No, Saturday.
No, the board meetings are always
and
Saturday.
And what did the commissioners ask that?
No, I said as long as... I was joking with Nancy. I said as long as it's not on a Sunday because that's my wife's birthday. February 6th is my wife's birthday.
February 5th is Carlos's birthday, but...
Well, he don't need to be there, so that's all right.
You can
take
the break, Carlos.
February is Omaha.
In Omaha.
No ice storm.
And we've already discussed the focus topic, which will be the state plan.
Yep.
Okay, then the next quarter is
May 7th doesn't work for you.
So the 7th doesn't work for you, Julie?
No, I have a meeting in Denver.
How about if we have a meeting there? We can have our next commission meeting in
Denver.
That's not in Nebraska, so okay, that
second,
does not work.
How about the second Saturday?
That would be May 14th.
That's my mother's birthday, but that's the way it is.
We all have birthdays.
I know it.
Oh, it is. Mother's Day is the 15th.
Actually, Mother's Day is the 8th. It's the second Sunday in May. So.
Oh, all right.
The third Saturday.
Oh,
well,
right.
Now, wait a minute, though. If Mother's Day is the 8th, then the 14th does not conflict with that.
Right.
No, I'll miss my mother's birthday. That's all right.
I think the 14th works.
Okay.
Okay.
So May 14th.
Mm-hmm. And where will that one be?
Lincoln?
No.
Oh, that's right.
No.
You're right. It used to be always that way, but it isn't anymore. Sorry about that.
So where?
It would need to be out west someplace.
Yes.
August is usually when we go west, usually.
West, north,
well,
south.
We'll see.
Well, it needs to be someplace besides Lincoln and Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't been in Norfolk in a little while.
As I recall, that meeting we decided was easier to do in Lincoln because May, there are a lot of graduations and things like that that interfere not just with the time of the people involved here, but with getting hotels in the other places.
I remember that discussion.
And so, as I recall, we changed it to be our elsewhere meeting, not just out west, could be north, east, southeast, wherever. Mm-hmm. Our elsewhere meeting was in August. Now.
We had two that were out west.
Oh. We have the November one that has always,
right,
at least since from what I know, has traditionally been Lincoln.
Right.
And February is traditionally Omaha.
Right.
That leaves May and August to be elsewhere.
Traditionally, we've had two in Lincoln.
I did not know that. It's not set in rule.
I mean,
okay.
It's not in law.
I think we need to go to Norfolk, like what you called said.
Unless we're talking about budget.
No, that's Pearl's annual.
No, she means how much it would cost.
Right now, I think we should do as we do because it is important for the board to get out into the state.
And if you want to meet Lincoln in Omaha, we can change our name to the Eastern Nebraska Commission for the Blind.
We're trying to get this decided.
I understand that.
So, May, do you want? I'm sorry, I'm getting impatient.
No, let me back you up 1 minute because this does affect me too. Do you have a date for state staff meeting yet?
Yes, we do. It's in April.
Okay, so I'll take a personal day so I can make sure I come to that. So I guess what I'm saying in May, I don't want to have to travel too far because I don't want to have to lose.
April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Okay, fantastic.
Let's see.
Norfolk would be reasonable.
How about York? We've never had one.
Yeah,
York
we could
would
do
be
York.
Very reasonable.
We certainly could do York.
That's so far for you to travel.
I know.
It was at Hastings. I had such a long
York
way to
twice.
Go.
I'm taking over
York,
the meeting.
York.
So York. Do we have
York
objections?
It's a good
York
central
good.
Spot.
York.
Focus
awesome.
Topic for May.
None.
Do you have ideas?
It's your evaluation.
Well, May is your
evaluation.
Right.
She wants to get out of that
one. Yeah. I tried.
August.
Okay. So then.
August. It's your pleasure. Whatever
the first Saturday in August.
It is.
The
6th.
Okay. Hey.
Does anybody have problems with the 6th?
That's Julie's anniversary, the 7th.
It's fine. I can, as long as it's not in Scotts Bluff or something, it'll
right.
be fine.
We had to go back to Kearney.
Lincoln. August, what do we say, 6th? In
then
Lincoln.
But that puts us two meetings in a row in Lincoln.
Right.
No, May is your.
No,
oh, I see. August
November.
And November. I get it.
How about,
so
you
want to go back to Kearney?
Did you want to do May in Lincoln and then August in York, and then you don't have to go very far.
Yeah, that would, if we did.
Are we having two meetings in Lincoln?
Why are we having two meetings in Lincoln?
You know, I don't want to be picky about this, but I think Jim was right when he said that.
I
think a while back that we decided that we'd have two meetings that were not in Lincoln or Omaha.
Okay.
I'm not sure when that came up, but.
That was shortly after I came on the board.
That was, I forget what her name, she passed away.
Sherry Manthe.
Asked for that when we were in Omaha.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
And
okay.
I do believe that's what we decided.
Thank you.
May and August would be reasonable.
But I think for Julie's sake and her marriage, I think yours should be August.
It's really not that important. It's fine.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is important.
Okay, York should be August.
It's important, but not
May, do you want to go? Do we want to go out west for May?
Or north. I mean, Norfolk or O'Neill. I mean, it could be. It doesn't have to be on the interstate.
I would recommend Norfolk. We haven't been up to the offices there in quite some time. I think Barb and Bob Burns were still on the.
I think you're right.
So I think Norfolk.
I think Norfolk.
I'm making decisions here, but
No.
We have a football game.
Right, we got a football game. That's right.
Okay, so we're doing.
All right. Let me recap.
Okay.
August 6th in York.
Right.
May 14th in Norfolk.
Right.
February 5th in Omaha.
Yep.
Wait, should we wait to set next November?
No, we can do that now.
It's,
yeah,
it's Lincoln, and so I think we just need to pick a day.
We need to consult the football schedule.
The day, let's just leave the day off until, you know, maybe we can decide that in, would May be too late for us to decide?
We can decide it in February.
Having it here?
Okay.
If it's a Lincoln, it's not.
Because by that time, we'll probably know a football schedule. And
I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Does York have a full service hotel?
Focus topics, guys. Good. Focus topics.
I have a couple suggestions.
Okay, Mike's got a couple. We need focus topics. We need August and November focus topics.
The notes that I had written down, and forgive me since I'm the newbie if these are things that have been covered recently, but I had the Nebraska Center for the Blind. A discussion about partnerships that the commission has with other entities. I know we've talked a little bit about, it's not an official partnership, but work that they do in conjunction with the Commission for the Deaf, or resources that they share or whatever. But anyway, that was another thought I had.
That'd be good for Lincoln.
And then the last one was I was curious what sort of boards and committees that NCBVI staff serve on in the course of their job responsibilities.
That'd be good for August. I like it.
I know, for instance, it was mentioned in our materials for today that Nancy Kaufman serves on ATP.
Assistive technology.
I see some commonality between
those last
entities
two.
The board the mm-hmm. staff serve on and the partnerships
sure.
that the agency. I think that could be a good combined
sure.
Let's
topic.
Let's do that for August.
Should we, would that be a good topic for August?
I'm fine with
Let's
that.
Let's do that for August.
Okay.
Okay, and then.
Yeah, but we've done anything.
We haven't done one for the center in a little while. I remember one being done, but I'm.
That wouldn't been
around
be bad.
Forever,
Let's do that for November.
It's probably been.
Because the clients would be right there in Lincoln.
How many years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years
ago.
November, you got
they
it.
They started this lunch in the new center dining
yes.
room.
Yes. Yep, I do
okay, let's
that.
Do that for November.
November would really lend itself because
people would be
right
we
there.
Would be in Lincoln
center staff.
In
yeah,
November.
There you go.
Good job.
Right. Should we go for that to the center again?
Is Fatosh still here?
No.
She's
gone.
She's gone.
Spring it on her. She'll love it.
Well, the only issue is that Fatosh has brought up before. Is that November is the Thanksgiving lunch, and it's
mm-hmm.
very taxing on the students to have them do a whole bunch of large projects that close together.
We were just thinking more of a presentation, not necessarily bringing lunch.
Students wouldn't have to
do
it. One thing I would like to know more about would be what the apartment resource person does and their duties out with the clients after hours and what they teach them.
Ooh, I like that. Let's do that.
And the things
that sounds
they
great.
Do everything.
And that's
all
part of the.
Julie knows something about that.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they even tuck you in.
Let's do that.
I think that would be a great one for November then because we'd be in Lincoln.
Yep.
And right. Maybe we can consider the center next year sometime.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's really the same
thing. Well, we're talking about next year. What am I talking about?
Well, the apartment resource follower is the center.
Yeah, the apartment resource person is part of the center staff. So it's really the same thing.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, were there any other suggestions? Because I know Jim was very adamant about coming prepared with ideas.
Yes, he did say
he did.
That.
I did that at the recommendation of the anonymous chair.
I told him to do that because a lot of times this focus topic and calendar thing, like, takes us forever.
Have we done anything in serving our Spanish blind populations ever? Or I know we did something like with.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to write other ideas down.
I'll put that on the list to consider
at some point. Yeah.
You know, there also could be things that you would want as new business, like. Outreach to non-English speakers.
Oh,
that would be something I could report on, give you information, but that wouldn't require a
whole topic.
Focus
all right.
We got to figure
that out. That's good. Let's put that on the
That'll be on the agenda.
All righty.
Good job.
I move we adjourn for football.
20 already. It's
31.
Okay, that is all I have. Are there any final announcements from anyone? Questions, comments?
But thanks for people attending. It's always nice to have a good public.
Yes, we appreciate it.
And I move we adjourn for football.
Yes.
I'm putting my headset on.
All right. Well, we will adjourn until next time. Thank you.
Excellent.
Kathy.
Hey, we got dinner time.
What's everybody bringing for Thanksgiving?
I got my radio on. I'm ready to go.
I need to call Cindy and get
to
find out what the sign up list looks like.
You done good.
43 seconds.
Hey, we did good.
Okay.
I got it. Yeah, good job, Julie.
I mean, a psychic.
Okay. Yeah.
Psychic is no good.
Good job.
Oh, I hope my notes make sense. Yeah. It's like, that was the most disjointed conversation ever.
Okay. Sharon, Jim, we're done if you want to meet us someplace.
Hello. It's just always.
All right.
You are here. Right?
Bye.
You're here in the room?
Did everybody do their expense report thing?
Do I need to sign something, Kathy?
There is a conference room.
Right.
There's so many people to squeeze in.
It's
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
No, talk about the stuff.
Yeah, we could.
I got to make a possibility.
And there's a couple of other spaghetti bars and bottom block and half away.
Right.
All right. Let's see.
Well, yeah, it's a ways off. I'll have time to think about it.
If we have a topic,
you're like your thing.
When my time goes off at the end.
The other requirement I have is a full slate.
You know, honestly, I pretty much ignore the time.
Oh, okay.
So it's for the benefit of the other commissioners. So whatever they get out of it, I mostly just watch my clock. I look at the agenda and I have my clock and I just try to work it out that way.
Well, should I not use the timer then? Is that not true?
Nancy and Mike seem to get a benefit from it. Can you remember? And we'll talk about it next time before the meeting starts.
I just think it's a cue. We don't have to, you know, say, oh, we're done. But I just think a cue is a good thing because sometimes you, at least I do, I lose track of, okay, have we spent 30 minutes on that or have we spent 2 hours on it? Once you get involved,
I think even Barb should just use it as an indicator or cue. If we went over. She has some idea.
That's fine. And if it's beneficial to you, Nancy, then we should keep it. And so whatever works for you is fine. Because I just kind of ignore it.
Well, I was just asking Julie whether I should reset it, say, for another 5 minutes at the end of the topic, particularly a long one.
Yeah.
If there's discussions going on.
Yeah. Another reason that it's helpful is this, that if you're having people repeating and repeating and repeating something, you can say, well, officially our time is up, and you can use that as an excuse instead of saying you're cutting somebody off.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's our chair, and she decides not to. That's fine, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
do you have everything you need?
I do.
Do you know if there's still an ATM in the Piedmont shops?
Yes, my bar requires a representative.
There used to be a little place for it, but I don't know if
no, I think that got taken out. No, the Juno drive up one. No, I think it's gone.
Closest ATM is?
For drive-through, is there a particular bank you're thinking of?
No, I don't care. Is there one?
There's, I think, a Westgate Bank at about 49th and Old.
We have 49th and Old.
I'm not walking 49th and Main.
Oh, back down.
If they leave me here, I don't know. Anyway,
I'm walking from here to Margo, which is 56 of Margo, which is one block south of back.
Nah, like inside Super Saver, West Big Bank.
I'll pay them later. I have to pay the babysitter, but.
And then down at 40th and South, but that's pretty much what I can come to mind.
Never mind, I'll pay. They'll trust me. I'll get him a check later.
Yeah, don't run me down.
I won't.
Not before, a few months, I guess.
Right. Well, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We should have. It's hard to believe it's almost time for that.